Good morning, church. It is wonderful to be able to be with you again as we lift up the name of our God in praise, letting him know that he is God and we are not. Would you stand and join us on this song that talks about where we get our strength, and it's from the joy that we receive from the Lord.
Strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice. Rejoice in our God.
Sing that again.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice. Rejoice in our God. And you have rescued us, victory won. Through Jesus, your only Son, now we're alive. Death has no grip on us, lead us to sing. Lead us to sing. Joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God.
Your perfect love has made us royalty, daughters and sons. Through Jesus, the King of Kings, Spirit of God, marking us as your own. God, we are yours.
God, we are yours. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God.
We have joy and hope. He will return.
He will return. We'll have no cause to mourn. Pain will be gone. Death, it will be no more. We'll be your The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. So glad to see you. Whether you are watching online or you're here in person, we are so glad that you're here. We would encourage you, if you want to register your attendance by scanning the little card that's there or online, you could do that. That would be great. Just a few announcements. Our Alpha program begins this Thursday on January 22nd. It's all Zoom, and the details, you can sign up online at yourc3.org/alpha. So we want to make you aware of that. Also, and by the way, if you're new, if you're maybe even newer to Christianity, this would be a great thing to jump into and to grow and to get to know some people. Also, we have tax letters that will be going out in the next week. You can visit again the church website and upgrade and share your most current contact information with Crosspoint if you would like. And you can put your face on there. They have a link where you can put a little picture on there. This way we can, because a lot of people say, well, who's that person? And we're trying to describe you. So sometimes that would be great. You take your mask off and you could do that. That would be a good thing. Following the second service, we have a business meeting, and we want to make you aware of that, those of you that are members. So if you could show up for that, that would be great. It'll be hopefully very quick. We're going to go over the this year's budget and go from there. And then we have a membership class on February 7th, and this is a chance for you to learn more about the church. Doesn't obligate you to become a member, but it gives you a chance to ask questions. And if you're going to be there, if you could let us know, and if you need childcare to let us know, that would be great as well. I want us to pray, and I don't know if you guys had heard, but there was an inauguration this week. And here's what the scripture says of a new president in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, first of all, then I urge supplication, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those who are in high position, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Let's just pray. Father, we do come before you, and we are grateful for a peaceful transition of power. Lord, we do pray for President Biden and his administration that they would lead in a way that we would be able to worship you and live a godly and peaceable life. Lord, we pray that you would move and bring good, godly counselors around him. We pray for your mercy to be upon this land. Lord, I pray for us as a nation, that now as the political season is behind us, that we would go forward and that you would bring healing in this land. Lord, that you would work mightily. I pray for the needs that are represented in our body of believers here. Lord, you know every family, you know every heart, you know every situation, and we would pray that you would work, that you would work mightily. Lord, we can't help but think of the young man who goes to a different church who passed away of cancer. I think his name's Jake, is that what it is? And I believe that funeral is going to be today. And Lord, we pray for that family, that you would be the God of all comfort to that family, as their little boy now enjoys heaven. But I just pray that you would work mightily and comfort them. Lord, help us to know to live as Christ and to die as gain. And so we commit our time to you. We pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. Lord, we thank you for your provision, and we give this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace, I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Song talks about actually us doing the work and running to the Father. But as the Bible tends to indicate over and over again, all I need to do to run to Him is turn around or just face Him because He's there. Listen to what Psalm 139 says. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is, it's too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts and knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. God wants us to remind us just how much he is thinking of us. I mean, what amazing thing to be thinking about us individually. And as the Psalms are meant to be sung, we are going to now sing Psalm 139 and get the idea of just how much God thinks of us. You wrote the story of my life. You go before, you fall behind. Before a breath beyond my death, you are with me all the way to everlasting. I can't run and I can't hide. Even darkness is a light. From the lowest place to the highest praise, you are worthy. Amazing love, how can it be? Far too wonderful for me. There's only one thing left to say. You are worthy. Search me, God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxious thoughts. Find the wickedness in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I can't run and I can't hide. Even darkness is a light. From the lowest place to the highest praise, you are worthy. Amazing love, how can it be? Far too wonderful for me. There's only one thing left to say. You are worthy. You formed me in my mother's womb. You know my frame, my flesh and bone. I'm wonderfully made. I can't describe, it's way too hard. You see me through and through and call me love. What a wonderful grace. You formed me in my mother's womb. You know my frame, my flesh and bone. Wonderful.
earthly name. I can't describe, it's way too hard. You see me through and through and call me love. What a wonderful grace. I can't run and I can't hide. Even darkness is a light. From the lowest place to the highest praise, you are worthy. Amazing love, how can it be? Far too wonderful for me. There's only one thing left to say. You are worthy.
So a few months ago, I went to the eye doctor and got one of those eye exams. And you know how they go. You sit in front of the machine, and they cover one eye, and they change the panel, and they'll say, option one, option two, which one looks better? And you'll tell them which one it is, and they go through a sequence of those things. Then you switch eyes. And it ended up that when I walked out of there, they gave me a prescription for corrective reading, not reading glasses, but glasses when I'm driving. And there's something about when you go and get an exam and you didn't think there was really a problem, then you find out that there is a problem. And so it's always a good thing to check your vision, to check things out. This morning we're going to do a bit of an exam, if you would, to check our vision on how we see life, how we see people, how we see what is going on. And just like in a exam, many times there's some discomfort. I know when I had my eye test, they did that pressure thing where they do the puff on the eye. I'm not a fan of that thing. I just don't like it. I guess they got a new machine. I need to go to a different place maybe. But even when you go to the doctor for any kind of physical, they're drawing blood, they're poking at you. And so my message this morning, for some of you, is not going to be comfortable. I'm just going to put this out there. There's some of you that haven't heard something like this in a long time. Some of you, we have a lot of people that are new over the last several years, a lot of people. And many of you come from churches that will never talk about what we're going to talk about today. So if you're here, I'm begging you to hold on, listen. If you're even some of our younger people, years ago, I think the last time I did a full message on this, You were younger, and now you're looking at life through a different set of eyes. And so I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would give us all open ears and open hearts. But the problem when I talk about something like this is I say one phrase wrong, and people tune out. And so I'm begging you not to do that. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, let me show a video here that will explain.
God created mankind in his own image. He created them male and female in the image of God.
Like a set of new glasses that helps us see the world with greater clarity, the value of human life defines how we see and respond to those around us.
From the formation of a child's first tiny cell to life's final breath, all life has dignity and value.
Because each and every one of us is made in the image of God.
And that is why, when we talk about being pro-life, it's not just about a political issue.
It's a worldview. It's a life view. It's a way of looking at each
human life that transcends culture, class, race,
age, and opinion, knowing that we are all uniquely created in the image of God.
The sanctity of human life is deeply rooted in Scripture and modeled
through the life of Jesus Christ, who said,
"Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me."
When we begin to see others as God sees them, we're moved to care more deeply about those created in His image.
And we will live each day in a way that honors our Creator.
We won't see the Scriptures as mere words,
but as commands to express His heart through our actions.
Commands like speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
And ensure justice for those being crushed.
Or love your neighbor as yourself.
The sanctity of human life speaks to ancient questions that span all of time and every culture.
Questions like, who is God? Who am I? Who is my neighbor?
Jesus responded to those questions with the story of the Good Samaritan, who saw another man who was broken and bleeding.
And instead of looking the other way as others had, he stopped
and cared for that man, even at great cost to himself.
Jesus said, "Go and do likewise. Let us see people as God sees them, seeing their needs.
And having mercy on them, because every person is made in the image of God."
Don't be silent in the face of injustice, but be a voice
for those who cannot speak for themselves.
May we not pass judgment on the woman facing an unexpected pregnancy,
but surround her with support, helping her to see
the child growing within her as a unique person with a life as valuable as her own.
So reach out to orphans in distant lands or the foster child in our own backyard
who is waiting, hoping, and praying for a family to call their own.
Embrace those with special needs as a special reflection of the image of our Creator God.
Let us care for the widow in distress and loneliness.
And let us befriend those in prison.
Let us shine a light on practices that distort human dignity,
like human trafficking and the cycle of poverty that limits God-given potential and dreams.
Make sacrifices to meet the needs of those dying preventable deaths because they lack food, medicine, and clean water.
Let us rejoice in the image of God as expressed through various skin colors and ethnic traditions,
refusing to tolerate racist attitudes that mock the one that created us.
Let us choose to see those who disagree with us as God sees them, treating them with respect and dignity,
while helping them to open their eyes to see the beauty and value of life.
That is what it means to be pro-life.
This is why we need to be a voice.
That's why we need to be a voice for life. And I really want us to look at this really in a new way. It's truly the idea that not only being an advocate for life in the womb, but it is the worldview of being an advocate for people, all people, from conception until they take their last breath. All people need to be treated with dignity and respect. And even those who we don't agree with. Too often, this whole topic is thrown into the political football. So I have intentionally moved it away from elections. Elections are gone. 2 years, 4 years, they're gone. But this issue isn't. And so I want us to think about this and really look at what the Scripture says. You know, it has been my practice that over my years of ministry that when a lady is coming near to giving birth, I will let them know, hey, when you're going to the hospital, let me know, text me. I will meet you there. I want to pray with you, and I want to read Scripture to you. And a lot of people take me up on that. I've done it dozens and dozens of times. And when I get to the hospital, here is what I read. I do read 139th Psalm, starting in verse 13, which says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret place, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And then I pray for him. And it's with the understanding that It is indeed God who is knitting babies together in their mother's womb, and God is the one that numbered their days. And the reason that I talk about that is as they go into the hospital to give birth to that child, there's always some anxiety because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we are blessed with great medicine and doctors and great technology, but there are still surprises, there's still difficulties that happen, and we know it's the Lord's. And so, according to God's word, he's the one that knits babies together in their womb. In Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. And so scripture's, I think, pretty clear on that one. And not only that, I was talking with one of our doctors, Dr. Margaret Chadwell, and she had sent me a bunch of things. Margaret is the Associate Dean of Student Affairs and Career Development in Wayne State School of Medicine. And in her practice for 25 years, she has delivered babies. And she wrote some things down for me and sent me a bunch of stuff. But she said, I have not once questioned whether or not the unborn or the preborn child I was getting up to deliver often in the middle of the night was a human being. It just clearly is. And one of the things she sent me was from the American College of Pediatrics, and this is from their position statement. And it says this, and this is from March 2017. The predominance of human biological research confirms that human life begins at conception, at fertilization. So in reality, we know more now than we ever have, and doctors understand that that's when life begins. They finally caught up with what Scripture says in Isaiah 44:2. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you in the womb. And so that's just the reality. It's we know what the Scripture says in Acts 17:24. The God who made the world and everything in it is being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. That's just the reality. God has given you life and breath, and he's given you everything. And indeed, so it says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And unfortunately, the issue of life has become this political football, and dealing with life, it has impacted the way America exists and what happens when we don't treat people with the dignity and the sanctity of human life that they deserve. I'm going to give you a quote. And this quote was made by one of three people that you have to try to figure out. Was it Mother Teresa, Jesse Jackson, or the Dr. Billy Graham? And here's the quote right here. It says, human beings cannot give or create life by themselves. It is really a gift from God. Therefore, one does not have the right to take away that which is not, they do not have the ability to give. And then it goes on to say, the quote goes on to say, what happens to the mind of a person and the moral fabric of a nation that accepts the aborting of life of a baby without a pang of conscience? What kind of person, what kind of society will we have 20 years hence if life can be taken so casually? Now, out of those three people, who do you think said it? Well, it was indeed the Reverend Jesse Jackson back in 1977. Sadly, Reverend Jackson got involved in politics, and he changed his view some 44 years ago. But what he said has absolutely come true. What kind of society will we have 20 years hence, or 44 years hence, if life can be taken so casually? The problem is we don't care about anyone we don't agree with, and life can be taken easily. Matter of fact, this week, if you looked at the news, the news reports that in 2020, and I know we had the pandemic, but in 2020, Detroit homicides were up 30%. Non-fatal shootings were up 50%. And that's what happens when life is not sacred, when you don't look at a person and understand that they are made in the image of God, and you treat life so lightly. As a nation, we are sadly getting more and more away from God's principles. Things like you shall not murder, and six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And we have made it our laws here. But can you imagine if we did, as a nation, get back a little bit to what the scripture says about treating people? Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. What a different world it would be if we did what he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And so it starts with us being a light in the dark world, but wouldn't it be great if you could turn on the news and not have it be bad news after bad news after bad news, but have it be stories of how people are treating others well. I mean, it'd make you want to watch the news. And yet, we're still in this time of transition in the world. We're still battling this. Now, I realize that there are real people and real stories. Can I say that? There are real people and real stories. I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and I have talked with many in our congregation who do not like this day, do not like Sanctity of Life Sunday. They don't like talking about it. They just don't. Matter of fact, some aren't even here, and they won't show up. If you notice in the notes, I tried not to let out what we're going to be talking about, because for some, they just don't want to show up because they had an abortion. And I want us to understand, for those who have been through that, or those who have been part of that, whether you were a guy who paid for it or talked your girlfriend or your wife into it, that there's real hurt that's there. And I've wanted to have a panel discussion before, but it's a personal thing that no one wants to really do. But I did have one lady write a little note for me. I asked her to do it. We've had many conversations, and I'm just going to read what she has given me. Here's what she wrote. I'm a lady who has had an abortion. I've heard many things said about me, such as they don't make sense, they don't know what these people are doing when they have an abortion, and then the ever-painful, soul-piercing baby killer. Of course, as a believer in Jesus, I look back now and clearly see how wrong I was to take the life that was in me. At that time, though, so many years ago, I was living in what most people in my current Christian circles would call a wild and worldly, sin-filled life, and that produced something in me that I was not expecting. Pregnancy. I was overcome by fear, so overcome that I chose a path that made the most sense to me at that time, a fear-filled choice. Even as I'm telling you this story, I want to explain all my backstory of my life, how I got to this place, how I thought I had no other options. But even then, for those of you who have not walked in my shoes, it would be just excuses, because you, of course, would not have done it. But it wasn't until I gave my life to Jesus Christ that I did understand that I could have made a different choice. I could have made a love-filled choice, but I didn't even know what that kind of love that it existed. Then she goes on to say, I know it today, because I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. I have not committed the unpardonable sin. I have asked for forgiveness. I am forgiven. Jesus loves me. And I am filled with hope that one day I will meet my child in heaven. I know my story is not my own in this congregation. Statistics say it is not. But it is a difficult one to talk about. It is not one of those respectable sins like you share at prayer meeting. Please help me to stop gossiping. It is dividing and painful for those of us who carry the memory, have to give over the pain and the shame and the regret to Jesus constantly. So I humbly ask that we as Christians choose your words, to use your words that express God's love, to a hurting people, both out in the world and inside these walls, and to always remember that we are all sinners saved by grace. Indeed, our story is not alone. Matter of fact, the scripture is very clear that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Jesus took the payment for our sins, no matter what we have done. I shared the story years ago, but back when I was working at Xerox, there was a gentleman. We were working midnights, and we were at the parts depot, and there was no calls that night. And we're sitting around talking, and I'm trying to talk to him about Jesus. I think I might have been in seminary, and his name was Jim, and he was a Vietnam vet. And Jim told me, he said, you know, when I was in Vietnam, when I was 18 years old, we're walking through this village, and they had just gone through a bunch of firefights. They lost a bunch of men, and they're walking through this village, and a young boy comes up to his friend who's in front of him, and he must have had hand grenades or something, but he exploded and killed his friend in front of him. And Jim said that he lost his mind. And he went through that small village, and he killed every man, woman, and child with a machete. And he said through tears that night, it was one of those surreal moments, but he said, God can never forgive me for what I've done. And I just pleaded with him to say, brother, yes, he can. That's why Jesus came, to die for sinners. And I don't know what happened to Jim. He tried to numb his pain with alcohol and several other things, and he ended up leaving Xerox. But I pray for him time to time, and I pray that one day I'll see him in heaven and that he would come to understand the forgiveness that we have in Jesus, just the reality that there is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead, that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In this meantime, what can we do? As a people, as a church, what can we do? Abortion is the law of the land, and it doesn't look like it's changing anytime soon. Having said that, we do what we can. We partner with organizations that promote life. Nancy is here from Pregnancy Aid. Nancy, you want to wave to people? That's Nancy. We have partnered with you for years, and before you were in charge, I think Mary Barada, who comes here, ran Pregnancy Aid, and they, almost on a weekly basis, they're partnering, they're doing ultrasounds, they're giving emotional and material support for those who have pregnancies that they were not expecting. Nancy had sent me several stories and pictures, and I'm going to just share one of things that they do. And again, there's all kinds of things that they do, and we as a church have tried to partner with them. But here's a picture of Zahar, I think her name is, and she was in an arranged marriage, abusive husband, found out she was pregnant. Her husband wanted her to abort the child. She wanted to keep it and go to medical school. Pregnancy aid, she found her way there where she was given a free ultrasound and maternity clothing and baby supplies and lots of love and emotional support. And she finished her first year in medical school at Wayne State, and her baby, Abe, is doing fine. He's doing fine. And it's what we can do is just one life at a time. Do what we can to promote life. Now, you wonder and you say, well, what will ever change? Will this ever change? I mean, this has been going on since the early 70s. Will this ever change? The hard thing about this, talking about this, is there's many Christians, and I wish I could see where everybody's at in their mind on this, but I've talked to so many of you who say, well, personally, I'm against it. But who am I to say what the world should do? Who am I to tell anyone what the world should do? I want to show you a picture that you have all seen. You all, on May 25th, 2020, George Floyd was lying on the ground and he had a police officer's knee on his neck. and he was saying, I can't breathe. And everyone, and I mean everyone who saw that was appalled. And if you weren't appalled, you're a sick puppy. Even the police that I ride with in my chaplain duties, when they saw that, they just said, dude, what is he doing? That's not what you do. You handcuff the guy, you make him comfortable. And yet, there has always been, if there's authority, there will always be the abuse of authority. No matter whatever time there has been or ever time will be, people will take things to an end that is wrong, that is horrible. Well, this officer did that, and it was caught on video, and the whole world saw it, and the whole country demanded change. Did we not? We did. That kind of stuff should not happen. What made the difference? Been going on for 200 years. You know what made the difference? People really saw. They saw a video, they saw a picture of what was really going on and what goes on. And I can't help but think that the only way that abortion will be removed from this land is if more and more and more people see it for what it really is. Most of you, I'm hoping, are convinced that life is sacred. But if you're on the fence and you say, I don't know, is the picture of George Floyd's neck being pressed upon and his life being choked out of him wrong? Yes, it is wrong. And if you're waffling, it's like, I don't know if abortion's, you know, if we should make a big deal about this, then I encourage you, and I'm not going to show pictures now, but you go home. I was doing it this morning. You can look around online, and you can see what happens to a human, even what doctors are calling life in a womb. And hopefully that same upheaval that went into our hearts as a nation on what took place back in May will happen across the board, and lives will change. And so we do need to be a voice for life. We need to care for people. We need to, and this is not just about babies in the womb. This is all of life. This is caring for people. This is being to people what Jesus wants us to be, caring for the poor, caring for the hurting, doing what we can, where we can. We can't do everything, but you need to know we have our hands in a lot of places as a church trying to help people and trying to relieve suffering. And so what I thought I would do is just, you know, when I went to the doctor and I got my glasses, guess what? This is what I wear when I'm driving at night. Pretty slick, eh? You know, you get, wow, I can see you all better. It really does help. I can see signs now, so I'm not getting lost as much. But here's what I'm doing. I'm going to play the video again, and I'm just praying for you to look at this video one more time with maybe a different set of lenses that you would see and understand all of how we should treat people. So with that being said, let's show this video.
God created mankind in his own image. He created them male and female in the image of God.
Like a set of new glasses that helps us see the world with greater clarity, the value of human life defines how we see and respond to those around us.
From the formation of a child's first tiny cell to life's final breath, all life has dignity and value.
Because each and every one of us is made in the image of God.
And that is why, when we talk about being pro-life, it's not just about a political issue.
It's a worldview. It's a life view. It's a way of looking at each
human life that transcends culture, class, race,
age, and opinion, knowing that we are all uniquely created in the image of God.
The sanctity of human life is deeply rooted in Scripture and modeled
through the life of Jesus Christ, who said,
"Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me."
When we begin to see others as God sees them, we're moved to care more deeply about those created in his image.
And we will live each day in a way that honors our Creator. We won't see the scriptures as mere words,
but as commands to express His heart through our actions.
Commands like speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
And ensure justice for those being crushed.
Or love your neighbor as yourself.
The sanctity of human life speaks to ancient questions that span all of time and every culture.
Questions like, who is God? Who am I? Who is my neighbor?
Jesus responded to those questions with the story of the Good Samaritan, who saw another man who was broken and bleeding.
And instead of looking the other way as others had, he stopped
and cared for that man, even at great cost to himself.
Jesus said, go and do likewise. Let us see people as God sees them, seeing their needs.
And having mercy on them, because every person is made in the image of God.
Don't be silent in the face of injustice, but be a voice
for those who cannot speak for themselves.
May we not pass judgment on the woman facing an unexpected pregnancy,
but surround her with support, helping her to see
the child growing within her as a unique person with a life as valuable as her own.
So reach out to orphans in distant lands or the foster child in our own backyard
who is waiting, hoping, and praying for a family to call their own.
Embrace those with special needs as a special reflection of the image of our Creator God.
Let us care for the widow in distress and loneliness.
And let us befriend those in prison.
Let us shine a light on practices that distort human dignity.
Like human trafficking and the cycle of poverty that limits God-given potential and dreams.
Make sacrifices to meet the needs of those dying preventable deaths because they lack food, medicine, and clean water.
Let us rejoice in the image of God,
as expressed through various skin colors and ethnic traditions.
Refusing to tolerate racist attitudes that mock the one that created us.
Let us choose to see those who disagree with us as God sees them, treating them with respect and dignity,
while helping them to open their eyes to see the beauty and value of life.
That is what it means to be pro-life.
This is why we need to be a voice.
We can stand, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. So let's just pray together. Father, I come to you, and now there's just so many directions I want to pray on this. But Lord, we do pray that this great evil would end in our land. Lord, we would pray that we would be the kind of church, the kind of people that care and love for all people, those that have a pregnancy that they maybe don't want. Lord, may we surround them with love and give them options of a life. Lord, that we would be those that speak against any injustice and any wrong that is being done that mirrors the image of God in us and in the people of this world. Lord, that we would, as a people, as a nation, treat people with dignity and respect and honor as truly everyone is made in your image. Lord, I pray that we would relieve suffering where we can and that we would do our part to be the people that you want us to be, to make differences in the world. Lord, I thank you for some of the things that we're doing, and I pray that that list would continue, that we would see different and more needs, that we would be able to reach out and make a difference for your glory. Lord, I pray that if our hearts are cold on this issue, Lord, if we know you, that your Spirit would move in our lives to bring change in our own hearts, just like what happened to George Floyd has changed America. Lord, I pray that our lives would change. So we give you this issue. We pray, Lord, that you would be honored in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, that you would grant us the forgiveness that we so need for sometimes being apathetic on issues, caring for people that we should never do or be. Lord, I pray for our young people who are maybe hearing this for the first time, that you would settle in their little hearts and minds what it means to stand for life. And we give these things to you. Lord, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that you have numbered our days. And we just pray that you would work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All life has worth because God says it, that you are worthy, that you have life, that you have worth, you have value. And he showed it by sending his son. Sing this with us.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flows at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. In wealth or might, or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied. Here that I confess my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross.
I rejoice!
I rejoice in my Redeemer. Soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
If you have questions, Pastor Jason and I will be in the back. We'll be glad to talk with you. I would love to end with a passage. At the end of Jude, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore." And all God's people said, amen.
To wonders here that I confess my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid.